Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, February 15th, 2016. I'm Jason Powell. Our new question of the week right off the top. Who should Undertaker face at WrestleMania 32 if John Cena is physically unable to perform? As always, limit your responses to roughly a paragraph, and you can send them directly to me via email at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Members, you can post your responses in the .NET members forum in the .NET audio section. We will be getting to our question of the week submissions for last week's question a little bit later in the show. However, speaking of John Cena, he issued an interesting tweet on Monday. Quote, gamble, take risky action in hopes of a desired result. Time to gamble, I think. It's going to be a risky next 2 weeks. And that's the end of the quote. I could be mistaken, but I think like most people, I read into this that Cena is hoping to push it in rehab in hopes of figuring out whether he will be able to wrestle at WrestleMania. I think that WWE obviously needs to know sooner rather than later. And obviously he wants to get back in the ring for the biggest show of the year. And I was told definitively that Taker wants Cena to be his final match. And I just hope John Cena's careful. This may seem like the biggest thing in the world right now to him, but I would hate to see the guy risk doing more damage, set back his recovery time even longer or worse, by pushing it to return for a match that, if he obviously is in contact with his doctors, and if they're telling him don't do this, I would hope the guy would listen. We'll see. It's certainly a risky move on his part. Hopefully things go well. And I certainly don't rule out John Cena returning at WrestleMania. But again, for the purposes of our question of the week, if he can't compete, who should Undertaker face? It is go-home week for WWE Fastlane. Raw tonight will not include Brock Lesnar or Paul Heyman unless they appear without being advertised. That will happen with Heyman once in a while, but it does not happen very often with Brock Lesnar. We do know that Brock will be at Tuesday's WWE SmackDown taping in Ontario, California. Yes, we are looking for correspondents for that show, and you can email me again at dotnetjason@gmail.com if you are going and would like to help. I'm curious to see how aggressively WWE promotes Brock Lesnar for SmackDown on tonight's Raw. Do they promote him heavily? There's no guarantee he's going to appear on television. He has made some non-televised appearances in California lately, but I would think he's there. It's the go-home show for Fastlane. I'm assuming he's going to appear on the television show. If they do promote him heavily, how big of an impact does this have on the SmackDown rating? You know, they promoted Chris Jericho against AJ Styles a week out, only to see the rating drop, which was disappointing because I'm all for WWE going above and beyond to promote SmackDown a week out, using Raw to promote SmackDown as they did here, and it just didn't seem to make a difference this time. Maybe Brock can be a difference maker. If he's not, that's certainly interesting as well. But with Lesnar and Heyman not expected to appear tonight, I think that may give Triple H center stage, and he is advertised prominently on the WWE live events page for this show. They've used him sporadically since he won the title at WrestleMania, at the Royal Rumble. I assume the logic is to save him mostly for Mania hype. So coming out of Fastlane, leading into Mania, I'm guessing there's only so much you can say when you're only having one match. So I'm guessing that's kind of the strategy here and why we've seen so little of Triple H, but that may change tonight heading into the Fastlane show. Forgive me if I said this before, but I got to say it again. I really feel like this could have been done differently and more effectively. I think they could have had Hunter play up that he's a fighting champion. He would make his mandatory 30-day title defense at Fastlane. Do the old heel routine where he acts like he's defending the title against some top contender, and then the opponent turns out to be a complete pretender. And there's a couple of ways they could have done this, too. He could have successfully defended the title in a showcase match against really the lowest guy on the roster, whoever you think that is. Make it very straightforward, Hunter just destroying this guy and winning with the pedigree with ease. The option that I would have been certainly more in favor of, have Hunter pick a guy that he treats like a scrub, and then have that guy push him to the limit before losing the match. And the trick here, I think, would be to avoid making it so hot that fans have more interest in seeing a rematch than the actual WrestleMania title match, whatever that's going to be. I still think Hunter against Reigns. We'll see. But I think this would have been a nice spot for a guy like Sami Zayn, believe it or not. Hunter wins clean. Sami puts up a big fight. And then maybe throughout the course of the year, he develops, he improves. And next year, he wants a rematch with Hunter to show how far he's come. He gets his win back. Or maybe Kevin Owens interferes in the match to help Hunter. And then Sami moves into a program with Owens. I think there's a number of different scenarios for that. I think there's a number of different potential opponents that Hunter could have faced. But I think it would have been fun to have Hunter defend his title and help elevate somebody in the process. Or even just to have a little more star power on the Fastlane show. I don't think that Hunter appearing at Fastlane and then WrestleMania is somehow limiting his star power. I just don't. I don't think that there's this great demand to see Triple H at WrestleMania as it is, but I think there is. I think for storyline purposes, I think it would breathe some life into what we've seen lately. I think they could have told a story here this month leading up to Fastlane. I think it could have been a lot of fun, but they chose the other direction, barring some last-minute scramble to add Hunter to the show tonight. All of that said, I assume tonight is the night when Triple H and Stephanie make yet another attempt to stir the pot between Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns heading into Sunday. I don't expect to see either man turn at this point. I think we could see some friction. Heck, we could even see these two guys come to blows sometime this week. Maybe tonight, maybe on SmackDown, I'm not quite sure. Whatever it is, I think it'll be a situation where one accidentally hits the other or something like that. And I'm guessing if you told me I had to put money on it, I would say they do not come to blows tonight. If they do, I certainly expect to see Triple H and Stephanie standing there gloating, being very happy about this. I'm curious to see how they play this. This is their biggest audience they will get, barring a SmackDown shocker, before Fastlane. So a big show for WWE tonight. Also curious to see how they follow up with the Dudley boys, turning on the Uso brothers last week. We did hear from the Dudleys on SmackDown. They're not going to be using tables going forward. I want to hear what else they have to say. And I also want to see how the Uso brothers are utilized. For the love of God, can they not make their usual entrance for once? Can they come out and run to the ring without big smiles on their face? Can they show some anger? Can we actually hear from them? Can they establish individual personalities going into this program, or at least throughout the course of this program with the Dudleys? I think it would be nice. Big Show will be Steve Austin's guest on the Stone Cold podcast coming up after Raw tonight. WWE is advertising this as a live interview. Now, they did that for one, if not both, of the Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair interviews that were clearly taped ahead of time. Hopefully, tonight is live, and we've seen the last of the recorded Austin podcasts on the network. I just think there's something special about it being live. It makes it feel a little more must-see. The interview is going to air immediately after Raw. I will definitely have live coverage of Raw tonight, beginning with Raw pre-show notes at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. At this point, I got to say I'm iffy for coverage of the Big Show interview just due to a family situation. I should know during Raw tonight, so I will be sure to mention during my live review of Raw that you can follow along with at ProWrestling.net whether there will be live coverage of the Big Show interview coming up afterward or not. Bear with me on that. I think it's going to work out, but I can't commit 100% to that. But again, follow along with my live coverage of Raw tonight, and I'll have more information on that for sure. .NET members are listening to my 53-minute Q&A audio show that was recorded earlier today. I answered the .NET member questions regarding pro wrestling during the first portion of the show, and then closed things out by answering their non-wrestling questions. And with the return of the Walking Dead television show last night, the non-wrestling portion was dominated by questions about the mid-season premiere. We don't get into spoilers or anything like that. I don't even want to know what happens in the comic book that didn't happen on TV until it's actually already played out, and then it's okay. But we have a lot of fun with that. Assassin 5 is a regular in there with his Walking Dead questions of the week. We had a couple of other members asking questions. We keep it light, we keep it fun during the non-wrestling portion of the show. The members will also hear, again, just kind of iffy with the family situation, but I should be by tonight with the my audio review of Raw tonight, even if I do the Big Show coverage. So if you see Big Show coverage, know that I'll be by with Raw, my Raw audio review. That'll be available exclusively for members tonight. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, visit the main page. On the right side, you will find the sign-up area. Once you're in there, you're going to see three different pricing options. You will find the one-month membership price is $7.50. If you want to save yourself a little bit of coin, then you can take either the six-month or the annual option. Both will bring that price down for you. The biggest price savings is with the annual option, which whittles that $7.50 price tag down to an average of $5.50 per month. month. Again, it's to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. You can hear tons of audio content. That Q&A show that I mentioned, .NET Weekly coming up later, all the major television shows reviewed in audio form as well. And if you ever have any questions on this, you can always hit me up on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet. All right, last week's question of the week. I asked you to name your favorite Daniel Bryan memory, and we'll start with a .NET member, GDT1985. He picked WrestleMania 30, said sitting in the nosebleeds at the Superdome and watching Daniel Bryan put on two exceptional matches, and finally getting the championship was amazing, especially since he was able to alleviate some of the negative feelings that had built up after Undertaker's streak had ended. It would have been an even bigger moment had that not happened. I went with my family, who don't really watch wrestling, and my father asked me something to the effect of, why is the little guy such a big deal? My answer? Because he is that damn good. A truly amazing performer, and while I don't really want to dwell on the negatives, I can't help but wonder what might have been had WWE been 100% behind him. .NET member Assassin 5, he went with the Ring of Honor unification match, which was the ROH champion against the ROH Pure champion, with Bryan facing Nigel McGuinness. That match took place in Liverpool, England. He had a little bit more to say about it in the forum. And then listener Adam Orgel, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right, Adam. In 2007, my buddy asked me to join him at an ROH show at the Manhattan Center. I went along, but the only guys I knew were those who I'd seen on Impact Television. The show was amazing. And then the main event started. Bryan Danielson against Kenta left me speechless. It was a 5-star classic and instantly became the greatest match I'd ever seen live, beating out Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon in a ladder match I'd seen across the street at MSG for WrestleMania 10. Danielson instantly became my favorite wrestler, and I followed his career ever since. I was lucky enough to see him live a few more times at ROH shows, including a match with the brutal Takeshi Morishima, where Danielson tore his retina and kept going. It was brutal. That year, I told my brother Danielson could be the next big thing in wrestling. Fast forward a few years, and he was. Now he's a legend in this industry. He is truly one of the best I've ever seen in the ring. An amazing performer. Thank you to him. Okay, my turn. My favorite memory. Believe it or not, it's the one freshest in our minds, and that's the retirement segment, his farewell address, however you want to label it. I said so much about it last week, though, that I'm not going to recap it all here, but you can certainly listen to my audio review of Raw last week. It was an all-access show that went up on Tuesday, and you can hear all of my thoughts on that coming right out of the show. I will say that I actually enjoyed the Daniel Bryan character in WWE even more than I enjoyed Bryan Danielson in Ring of Honor. By the time I started paying really close attention to Bryan and Ring of Honor, it wasn't like I didn't see his early stuff. I just wasn't paying a ton of attention to Ring of Honor, like, consistently. You know, I'd see shows here and there. But, I mean, by the time I really started paying close attention, he was already well-established. And he was one of their top guys. You know, his nice guy, underdog personality never really came through, for me anyway, until he went to WWE. He was a champion in ROH, and he spoke about being the best in the world, which, you know, he may have been, in fairness. So, I mean, don't get me wrong on that. And I like what he did in Ring of Honor. It just didn't resonate with me the same way that, like, the overachieving underdog character that he played and that he was in WWE. And then watching it all culminate at WrestleMania, it really was tremendous. I mean, there were definitely some paranoid fans who thought someone else was going to win. They were going to screw him out of the title again. And, you know, who can blame him for feeling that way? I assumed it was Bryan's night. But that didn't make it any less special for me to see him actually finally win on the big stage the way he did. Just knowing that fan support truly did cause Vince McMahon to change his plans and give the WWE World Heavyweight Championship to Bryan was amazing. I don't know that we're ever going to see anything like that again. I mean, we may see WWE try to replicate it with AJ Styles or Sami Zayn or someone else down the road. But this was truly a case of the fans winning out and Vince McMahon knowing he had no choice but to give the fans exactly what they wanted, not what he thought the fans wanted. It was truly special. And again, I just don't know that it's ever going to be replicated in the pro wrestling industry, at least on such a genuine level. That is going to do it for today. Again, I'll be back later on tonight with my WWE Raw live coverage review. Join me at ProWrestling.net. I will have the pre-show notes available, so if you want to get a head start on what is going to take place on Raw, they usually announce some matches there. But either way, join me for live coverage of Raw as the show airs on USA Network. Until then, thank you for listening. Oh, and hey, please remember, subscribe to this daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. It's always appreciated. You're helping spread the word about the podcast. So until tomorrow, thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.